Let's pray. We'll get started. Father, we love you. We thank you for all that you're doing for us, Lord. Thanks for this family who have come together, Lord, to just learn about you and learn what it is that you have for us. Lord, we know that, God, you do have plans for our lives. And, Lord, we can see that through your word as we've gone through Genesis. Lord, the beginning, Lord, we know that, God, you've called this body of believers to go back to the beginning for us to see that, God, you've been with us from the very beginning of time. And God, that you do have a plan and there is an end. And Lord, by that between the beginning and the end, Lord, you're the Alpha and the Omega. And in that in-between time, Lord, you've given us a chance to have a relationship with you. And we're so thankful for that. So today, I pray, God, for each of us, Lord, that we would draw near to you. And as we do that, Lord, you promise you'll draw close to us. And so, God, we ask for that this morning and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we had a lot of things going on. We left off last time before Easter. Actually, we was in Genesis 28, and that was finding relationship with God. We came into Easter, went through the Easter service, and then after that, Rick King came and spoke. How many of you guys got to listen to that? That was awesome. Rick's doing great. Rick and Vonda are doing awesome. So they came and spoke on drifting or gifting, and it was out of Hebrews. Was good. I got a lot out of that. Anybody who's drifting is needs to get back on track, right? So Rick did a great job. And now today, we're going to talk about through it all, God has a plan. And so we're talking about, we went through our forefathers. We went through Abraham, Isaac, and now we're jumping into Jacob's life and what happened through Jacob. And we'll see that through Jacob's life, that God had a plan, even though Jacob was kind of trying to make things happen on his own, and even his mom got to be part of that. Remember, we talked about that, where Jacob's mom was kind of manipulating Abraham to get Jacob to be the chosen, the one that was blessed, and because of what God said, and so she was trying to make God's plan come to fruition, and so she got kind of in the way, thinking maybe God didn't know what he was doing, maybe, I don't know. But I know that we do the same thing. It's easy to point our finger at those in the Bible that made mistakes, like David and others. But we can see the reason why that God wrote these stories down was to show us that we need to watch our lives and learn from other people's mistakes, right? A smart man learns from his own mistakes, but a wise person learns from somebody else's. How many of us have gotten to that place of wisdom? I don't know. I'm still working on that. So it seems to me like I have to make my own mistakes. How about you? I just pray that we would look at the word today and find out that God has a plan and we need to trust him. Even if we can't see it ourselves, we need to trust in what he has for us and follow him step by step. Because why? Because God is not a illuminating light into our future. He's a light unto our path. He gives us one step at a time. And you know why that's true? Because I think if he illuminated the path in front of us or our future in front of us, we would go, I ain't going. That looks too crazy for me. I can't do that. I think I'll stay here. And so he knows that about us. And so he gives us one step at a time. And as we learn to trust him, we take those steps. So today we're going to talk about through it all, God has a plan. And we're going to kick that off in Genesis 29. We're going to go through verse 1 through 35, and I'll just get started. So then Jacob went on his journey and came. And if you remember what happens, everybody remember that he left because things got really dicey after he kind of stole the blessing from his father and his brother. Esau was really upset, and so he was basically his mother overheard him that he was going to kill him if he got a chance. And so they got together and kind of sent him on back to his uncle's place, right, so that he would find a wife in the land where they came from. And so Jacob was journeying back to where his mother had come from, and out of the land where they were sojourning. And so he went eastward. And so that's where we're picking it up. Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the sons of the east. He looked and saw a well in the field, and behold, three flocks of sheep were laying there beside it. For from that well they watered the flocks. Now the stone on the mouth of the well was large. When all the flocks were gathered there, they would then roll the stone from the mouth of the well and water the sheep. and put the stone back in its place on the mouth of the well. And Jacob said to them, "My brothers, where are you from?" And they said, "We are from Haran." And he said to them, "Do you know Laban, the son of Nahor?" And they said, "Yeah, we know him." And he said to them, "Is it well with him?" And they said, "It is well." And here's Rachel, his daughter, coming with the sheep. And he said, "Behold, it is still high day. It is not time for the livestock to be gathered. Water the sheep and go pasture them." But they said, "We cannot until all the flocks are gathered and they roll the stone from the mouth of the well. Then we water the sheep." While he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. And when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, Jacob went up and rolled the stone from the mouth of the well and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Then Jacob kissed Rachel. Now, I bet you that freaked Rachel out. "Dude, what are you doing?" And lifted his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was a relative of her father and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. So when Laban heard the news of Jacob, his sister's son, he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. Then he related to Laban all these things. Laban said to him, "Surely you are my bone of my flesh." And he stayed with him a month. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wage be?" Then Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah's eyes were weak. Now, I'm not sure exactly what they meant by that, whether she couldn't see or whether she wasn't too pretty. I kind of wonder. It doesn't really say, but I know that she wasn't as beautiful as Rachel was, because it says it later, but I'm thinking that possibly that Leah probably wasn't as striking as her sister. But they said, so Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful from the face, from form and face. So it kind of separated. Now, I don't know about you guys, but the thing about the world is that it seems to me that the world looks on the features of people. I mean, look at commercials. Look at the things that the world sees is what is beautiful. I mean, if you're a little overweight, well, then you're not in shape, and so the world sees you as not as beautiful as one that is thin and pretty, right? Isn't that the way our system works? You go back a few years, right, and you'll find out that the portraits of the women were a little larger, a little heftier, right? And the portraits of the women today that seem to be in play is the younger, real thin gals. And so it's amazing how culture looks at people and how they kind of put them in places. And God wants us to love people for who they are, not what they look like, right? It's not about the looks. It's about who God created you to be. Although I believe in being healthy, the Bible says that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and I think that you need to be careful about how we live, and we need to live knowing that God is using us and created us for a purpose, and so we don't just want to be out of shape and overweight, and statistics show that if you're carrying a lot of weight, you have a lot of problems through different diseases and things that happen. So diabetes and all kinds of things. So I understand that. But my view of what God wants us to look at people is that they are a creation of God, and we need to see it that way. Now, even here, the Bible is segregating the difference between a beautiful one and one that was maybe not as pretty as the other. And so, but God created them both, and I'm sure Leah was a wonderful person. And so we look at this, and where did I leave off at? I lost my place. 17. And Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful of form and face. Now Jacob loved Rachel. So he said, "I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel." And you notice he made it very clear what his plan was. And Laban said, "No, it is better that I give her to you than to give her to another man." Stay with me. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they, and it seemed to him but a few days because of his love for her. He really loved her, and he worked for 7 years, and it didn't seem like very long for him. I thought that was an aw. Oh. I would have been whining. I don't know, 7 years of work? I don't know. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my time is completed, that I may go into her." And Laban gathered all the men of the place and made a feast. Now in the evening, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to him, and Jacob went into her. So now you got to understand culture, because in their culture, the women covered themselves and they went in to the tent after the wedding and had relations, right? And so she wasn't unveiled. And when they went into the tent, it was dark. And so Jacob was sure that he was marrying Rachel, right? Because that was the agreement. And so there was deception. Now remember, if you remember back what happened earlier, who was the deceiver? Right, his mom, Jacob's mother, and him deceived Isaac, right? Because for the blessing. And so this deception, remember I talked about family strongholds? And you'll see this deception came from Jacob's mom's side of the family, which fell on him, and then he goes back to find a wife, and it's there that he gets deceived. He deceived somebody else, and then he goes, now he's deceived. And so deception falls upon us. Guess what, guys? We're always being deceived in some way or another. Does anybody know that? You know why? Because the enemy is a deceiver. He's been deceiving since time began. And if we're following any kind of plan that we think we might be right for us, we need to second guess it and be close to the Lord to find out who's being deceived or who's deceiving who. And it might be you being the deceiver and you're not even realizing it. It might be being manipulated because you think it's the right thing. Right now, I know that Laban, right, when he was making these decisions, was making decisions based on culture, based on what he thought was right, but he still lied. He still deceived the one that he was dealing with. Right? He didn't tell the whole truth. And Jacob did the same thing. And the question I might ask, and honestly, if we're not real aware of our daily routine of life and how we respond to things around, we might just be doing the same thing. And the only way you're going to be aware of it is that you ask the Lord, "Lord, am I being deceived or am I deceiving?" And pray about it. I know this, there's been times in my life where I said things that I didn't mean to at the time, but afterwards I was convicted. And the Lord told me that was not the truth. How about you? Come on. If we're going to be honest, we're going to have to learn to listen to the Lord. And if he convicts us and he gives it to us straight, then we have a responsibility to do something with it, right? And so I've told you this story before. I had a guy that I worked for that he called me and asked if the landings were ready for him to move the chipper in on, right? And I said, "Yep, they're ready." And they weren't. But I said it because I knew he was coming and I knew that I could get in there and get it done before he showed up. But I didn't have it done, and I could have said, "No, they're not. They're not done yet, but I will have them done by the time you get there." What would have that hurt? Right? But nothing. And he would have said, "Great, you better get her done because I'm going to be there at 7 in the morning." Right? Conversation over, we'd have gotten done and everything would have been fine. But I did not say that. I lied. I said, "They're ready." So is a small lie okay? No. And so we say things which wouldn't change a thing, but at the moment, we have a tendency to say what they want to hear, right? And so we say that. Now, and so, you know, here's the thing that you ask people the question about, "Are you a liar?" And they'll always say, "No, not a liar," right? Well, they just lied. Because I think deception is a thing that anybody on planet Earth has been confronted with sooner or later. Or you just fool yourself and you're walking deception all the time and it doesn't matter. But listen, we live in a world that's full of deception. Right? You get those things in the mail all the time. One, how many of you guys play the lottery? How many of you guys get those things in the mail? If you do this, you could win $1 million. Right? Or come to our car lot. We'll even send you a key and spin the wheel for your new car. Right? The deception is they got to get you there, and then they'll try to work you a deal, try to get you to buy something. Right? The whole world's full of deception. In fact, it's the word is equivoke. And it comes back from a former word where it's the choice of no choice. People get you into a place of making a decision that you think it's your decision, but really somebody else has already figured it out and they've manipulated it into that place where you make the decision thinking you're the one that made the deal. And the reality is they manipulated you all the way through to the buying of whatever, right? And it starts television, advertisements, I mean, on and on and on. And people go into debt and not even realize, man, I'm so far into this thing, I don't know how I got here. Well, you were deceived. Well, we can look at other people and see deception, but the question is, can we see deception in ourselves? That's the big question, because we don't like to self-evaluate, do we? How many of you guys are self-evaluators? You know, most of the time we'll talk about somebody else, but when we start evaluating ourselves, it's like having an anger problem. You know, you can say you have an anger problem. Man, I do. I have an anger problem. I'm sorry, but I've always been that way. My dad was that way. My grandpa was that way. So it just is what it is. Really? My question to you is, what's making you so angry? So now you have to evaluate that and ask yourself the question, well, why am I so angry? Or what is making me angry, really? And you'll find out most of the time, it's a big mass of deception. And you've walked yourself right into it. Yeah, and so you can look at somebody else all day long and you can point your finger at them and you can say, yeah, those guys are deceived. But yet, do you look at your own life? And really, it doesn't really matter what somebody else is going through. What matters is, what are you going through and what's going on in your life and how are you responding to the Lord with it? And so God has a plan. Even in all this deception, from the very beginning, the enemy deceived Adam and Eve. He deceived all kinds of different people along the way, and God has watched it happen, and he's watched your response to things, and he's watched your world and how you've come to the place you are. And I don't know, how many of you guys can say this? I never knew when I first started out that this is where I would be. How? I mean, really, I didn't plan this. My plan was totally different. Was yours? Yeah, you had a different plan, right? Well, God knew what plan he had for you. And when we look at this story, we're finding out some interesting things about how God works, right? He knew beforehand the deception that was going to happen, right? And we're going to get on to the story in a minute. But I want you to capture something before we get there. Do you think God knew what was going on in your life to get you where you are, right? And sometimes it took some hard knocks to get you to kind of, you know, straighten up. Sometimes it takes some pretty rough roads to get you to humble yourself enough to say, God, I need you. I need you in my life. And so God takes you through all kinds of things. And so in this, we see the deception of Jacob and how Laban deceived him to take Leah, and he went in and had relations with her. And we're thinking, oh, man, that Laban, what a jerk, right? And then the rest of the story. Let's go on. So the deception was that Jacob went in and laid with Leah. So he was now married to her. And so Laban also gave Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came about in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served with you? Why then have you deceived me? But Laban said, here's the answer to his deception. It is not the practice in our place to marry off the younger before the firstborn. Well, I would have been awesome if you'd have told me that before I did this, but he decided not to. And so Jacob is now dealing with the consequences of somebody else's deception. How many of you guys have dealt with the consequences of somebody else's deception and had to live that way? And so, 27, complete the week, Laban's telling him, he's just pulling him right in, of this one, and we will give you the other also for the service which you shall serve with me for another 7 years. So Jacob did so and completed her week, and he gave him his daughter Rachel as his wife. Laban also gave his maid Bella to his daughter Rachel as her maid. So Jacob went in to Rachel also, and indeed he loved Rachel more than Leah, and he served with Laban for another 7 years. Now, interesting about love. Now, Laban's responsibility because of what happened was to his first wife, Leah, but he loved Leah's sister. Now, let's just put that into perspective. What kind of a family affair do you think was going on there with two sisters? Knowing that the man loved one more than the other, and it was evident, but yet God knew that, didn't he? He knew, and he was accomplishing his task through all of their stuff, and he just let them go ahead and go through it, and he was working his plan in the middle of what they were doing. Now, all I know is if these guys never once inquired of the Lord for any of these things, did you ever see them go, God, I need to spend some time with you. Things are getting out of control and radical, and I'm not sure what to do. Never once did you hear that through any of these guys. None of them. None of the girls, none of the uncle, Jacob, nobody. They just went on and kept on going on, doing their work, making sheep, building their herds, more maids, more people involved, more stuff, bigger wheel. And they never once inquired of the Lord anywhere. I find that to be interesting. And God's still working a plan. He's going, okay, you guys, just keep her up. You see, and God does that to us, doesn't he? You know, we make decisions based on what we think is the best thing to do at the time because it feels like it's okay, feels right. I'm going to do this because, man, you know, it ain't working for me any other way, so I'm going to make it happen my way. And God just says, well, you know what Jesus said? Not my will, but your will, Lord. Do you think Jesus wanted to go on the cross for your and my sins? He didn't physically want to go there because he knew what the pain that was going to happen through it all. But yet he said, he humbled himself and said, not my will, but yours, God. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you guys are there? In a bad situation and you can get yourself out of it, you can fix the problem, but when you inquire of the Lord says, I don't want you to do it. Don't do it. I want you to stay in the midst of where I've put you. Interesting concept, isn't it? To not my will, but God, your will be done. When you stop and think about that for a minute, most of the time, don't even go there. We don't even think about what God's thinking. We're just thinking about where we are and what we want to do. Because everything's out of control. And so Jacob goes on and does his thing and marries Rachel. Verse 31, now the Lord was with Leah. No, the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, verse 31, and he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Now, what do you think about that? But Rachel was unloved, you know, and he was seeing the this dysfunction and all that. And so he allowed Rebekah to be barren, and he let Leah have children. Why? Because in their culture, children was a big deal, right? And God's seen the dysfunction in how she was getting left out of the whole thing. And so God said, okay, well, let's throw this one in the mix, see what happens. So now Jacob, right? Now think about this. Jacob not loving her, but somehow he was having relations with her. Because otherwise, they wouldn't have children, right? Right? So somewhere along the line, he was spending some time with that girl. And it was all about what he thought should be done, right? And so he's going, okay, you love, God just kind of does his thing, doesn't he? Interesting how God intervenes and weaves through certain things to get people's attention. And he does it in his timing and his way. And we can be way out of control, and God's weaving. He's moving. He's working. And nowhere in here at this point in time did anybody ever inquire of the Lord, so God got their attention. He works through and gets their attention. And so he and it says right here, wasn't it God who did it? It didn't just happen. God did it. He says, now the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, and he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bore a son and named him Reuben. Now, before we go on, I want you to remember, who are the 12 tribes of Israel still to this day? Huh? Where did they all come from? And what woman did they come from? Okay, so we, very good. So these kids that God's going to use in the future started with Leah through deception, right? And so he's weaving, and he made Rebecca barren, but she was beautiful. Man, I tell you, we get locked into the things of what man sees, and we don't see what God sees. And so Reuben was born here because the Lord had seen my affliction, is what she called it. Surely now my husband will love me. So now she's thinking, because she bore a son, her husband will love her. How many of you guys are in a relationship with your spouse and think to yourself, and you don't have to say anything, I'm just bringing up the point, do I love this woman or this man? That's a tough question, isn't it, for some? I live with them, and I've had a whole life with them. I know we're in relationship, have been forever, but now let's talk about love. Well, what is love? What's love? Is it an action? Is it an emotion? Is it, what is it? What does love mean? Right? And so the definition of love, some of us might need to look that up. What is that? What is that? Like relationship, people can be in relationship and love's got nothing to do with it. Right? Love comes from two people submitting to one another and caring and putting their needs in front of their own. And if both people are doing that, love grows. That's why a good marriage don't just happen. It don't. If you're not working at it, it ain't going to be good. So you work at a good marriage, and it takes two. If it's one-sided, like in this case where Leah was doing everything, trying to get her husband to love her, had children and all that, and Jacob had somebody else in mind, and love wasn't in the picture for him. He loved someone else. I think there's a lot of marriages where somebody might love someone else and still living with their husband or wife. It's a very dysfunctional system we live in. And then we might ask ourselves, have we ever inquired of the Lord about what it's going to take to bring love alive? If it's dead, can it be rebuilt? Come on, can it? Absolutely. It's a matter of two people working on it. But yet we have a whole world of people that would rather get a divorce than work on the hard stuff. Look, it ain't happening, man. It must not have been meant to be. I must have married the wrong person. Well, I submit to you that love is more than a feeling or emotion or even an action. Why? Because God defines love as being patient, kind, long-suffering, right? Endures for a long time. Look up the definition of love and then ask yourself, Am I a loving person? Or is it the other way around? If you do what I think you should do, then maybe I'll think about loving you. But until then, buddy, you're out. That don't work that way. It's selfless. So then she conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also. So she named him Simeon. She conceived again and bore a son and said, "Now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons." Therefore, he was named Levi. And you know where Levi came from, right? Levites were the priests. That was the tribe that God used for being the priests, the ones in the temple that did all the work of the temple, the pastors of the church. And so that's part of them, the 12 tribes that came from Leah. And God's working. He's weaving his work. Now listen, you guys might think God's not paying attention. Right? Where is God? I don't see him doing anything. Isn't that what Leah was saying? She was all concerned about herself being loved, and she wasn't even looking at those beautiful kids that God had given her for a reason and for a plan. And certainly you should be praying for them children that God give you, because God has a plan with them. And a lot of what took place in the future depended on how they imparted the truth of God in their lives. Right? Because if it started from Abraham, didn't it? Right? And so there was deception, there was good things and bad things all the way through this mess. And just take a good look at your own life. Hasn't the same thing happened in your own lives? There's been bad things and good things, bad decisions, good decisions all through your life. And what have you learned through the whole thing? Have you learned anything? Or life is just what it is. And come what may, the case or os or ah thing. You know, whatever happens, happens, and I don't have any control of it. Really. I believe we have all kinds of control about what goes on in our life. And it all happens through decision making. Right? Bad decision, bad consequences. Good decision, good consequences. Have we learned that much in our life? Has anybody learned that much? You do stupid stuff, bad things are going to happen. It's like a duh, but we don't seem to get the duh. Right? You do good things and stay on the path of righteousness and stay close to the Lord. Follow him closely and watch and see what happens. First of all, the fruit of the Spirit is going to be evident in your life. Now, how many doesn't want love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control? Would you not want any of that? I'm good. I'll be in my miserable little world, and I don't care about the fruits of the Spirit. Right? I believe there's a lot of people walking just like that. They don't care about the fruit. All they care about is, yeah. It's all about what they want. And in this world, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, what is it that he's asking you to do? Do what? A servant. Ooh. What does that mean? That means you got to start looking out for everybody else and serve them. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, if you don't, go ahead and be selfish. Right? Your will be done. Because either two things are going to happen. Either you're going to say to God, "God, your will be done in my life, and I surrender to that, and so I follow you." Or the opposite is true. God's going to say to you, "Your will be done. Go ahead and have your way. Whatever. You're going to find out my way is better." I mean, you might think God's way is not better, but it is. And you have to jump in to find out. That's all I'm saying. You have to jump in to find that out. So she conceived again and bore a son and said, "This time I will praise the Lord." Whoa! Wow! It's about time! All these circumstances of life, and it all comes through everything. And the fourth son, she goes, "This time, God, thank you. I get it. It's awesome what you're doing." Right? Before that, it was like, "Woe is me. I'm unloved. I even named my children unloved. Now, and on and on and on." And finally, she gets to the fourth one. She goes, "Wow, I get it." This is, she's probably watching her kids be raised, and she's going, "Man, what a miracle of God. Look at these healthy kids. Here I am whining, and I got four loving boys around here that's helping me do things, and they love me. They love me." Right? I think if we wallow in our self-pity long enough, we'll just talk ourselves right out of love. Right? Because you're not going to receive love unless you love. Right? isn't it? You got to be willing to love to get love, right? And in love, I guarantee you, you're going to get hurt. Has anybody figured that out yet? Yeah, because you're giving up of something of yourself, and so there's going to be pain in that. Somewhere along the line, it's gonna hurt. It's going to go ouch. And then you have a choice to make, don't you? You have a choice to make. Oh, I just got hurt. I'm going to isolate. I'm not going to do that again. Or you're going to love enough to say, hurt me if you want, but I still love you. Right? Isn't that what Jesus did? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And our mindset is we have to think past the circumstance. And if you can't think past the circumstance, you're going to deal with it through how you feel, through emotions. And your emotions are going to be, you're going to have a lot of pain. And so you're going to make decisions based on how you feel. And that's not a good way to make decisions. Right? And you guys have done that. I'm not telling you anything new. Right? You have made decisions because of how you feel. And how did that turn out for you? Usually it doesn't work very well. So she conceived again. And of course she had a son. And she finally said, this time, I will praise the Lord. Therefore, she named him Judah. Then she stopped bearing. And so we look at the circumstances of life and where you are, believe it or not, God's working. Does anybody know that? You guys feel that? That somewhere in this mess of life, God is working. Some of you guys have children that aren't doing real well right now. Right? And they're wavering. Maybe they're not paying attention to you. They're off doing their own thing. And you're thinking, what? They won't listen to me, God. I don't get it. Right? What can we do to help them? And why aren't you working in their life? I've been praying. I'm praying, God, but they're still wandering. They're still doing their own thing. I don't know what to do. Well, let me give you a little insight. Do you think God's forgotten them? No. Do you think he's still weaving in the midst of their stupidity? Oh, yeah. One of these days, he'll push the big button, and they're going to go, this time, I will praise you, Lord. Sooner or later, it'll come to that, and they're going to go, man. And it might take a lot, and it might be even painful for you to watch it happen. Probably a good chance it is. But yet, you don't ever want to stop praying. And you never want to stop believing in God and believe what he has. Because guess what? He's got a plan and he's still weaving and he's still working. And he needs your partnership. Right? He needs your partnership. He needs your partnership to partner with him and ask him, Lord, what can I do to help you? Right? Because God's the one that's in control. You're not. Has anybody figured that out yet? Right? What can I do to partner with you, Lord? What can I do? And then allow God to illuminate some thoughts to you, because he will. You know, sometimes you got to quit preaching at them and start having relationship with them. I figured that out. And it doesn't do no good to preach at them. Right? So you come to where they are, and you start developing relationship with them. And then they'll start watching your life and saying, yeah, you know what? There's something to that. And then you can develop from there. And it's not fast. It takes time, and it takes effort, and it takes a whole lot of love. Selfless. Because you're going to watch things. I remember my dad watching me doing some stupid stuff. And you know what he said? He didn't get mad at me. It's like he didn't just scold me or do the old talk to me till my ears fell off thing. He just said, one day, Dave, you're going to learn. I went, thanks, Dad. That was like it. One day you're going to learn. It's like, go ahead and be stupid, but one of these days you're going to get some wisdom. And so I had to walk down that trail, and I remember thinking back to what Dad said. I mean, I don't think he could have talked me out of it. He could have sat there and talked till he was blue in the face, and all it would have done was make me more rebellious. I really think it would have. But because he loved me where I was, and there was consequences, because I was out drinking and doing my thing when I was a teenager, right? And And I came home, and it was really, really late, and my dad was sitting on the staircase waiting. And I'd been partying all night. About 3 or 4 in the morning, I slip in, sneaking up to my bedroom, and he's sitting there on the staircase. Yeah. He said, "We need to talk." Anybody been there? And we did. We had a really calm talk. He shared with me some rules. He said, "Under my house, this won't happen. You're scaring your mom. She doesn't know where you are. And I've had enough. And so you can either follow the rules of this house or you can leave. And it's your choice and you make it right now." And I thank Dad for the conversation. Thank for not getting mad at me. Yeah. But I packed my gear and I left on my own accord. And I never went back. Now let me say this. Best thing ever happened to me. Guess who had to feed Dave? Guess who had money for beer? Yeah. Reality. Tough love. And it was a loving tough love. He wasn't mad. He just said, "It's not going to happen. You got to make some choices, and it's not going to be here. Right? You're done." And it was just as simple as that. And I had a choice to make. I could have stopped doing what I was doing and hanging out with my buddies and come home and do what was right. But I didn't. But still, it was the best thing that ever happened to me. Just because I had to learn how to take care of me. And the door was always wide open. Right? It was wide open. So I could have come back any time. But I had to come back to follow the rules. And God's plan is the same, is it not? You guys can do whatever you want. Go ahead. But if you want to come and be under God's covering and in his house, you got to follow the rules. Right? There's rules in God's house. And he doesn't hate you. He loves you with all that he is. But he's not going to allow you to walk down a path that's wrong and still be under his covering. It just doesn't work that way. And so we look at how God still worked in my life, and we looked at how God still worked in Jacob's life, and God's still working in your life, even in your wrong choices. So you've got a lot of choices. You know, in life, there's just a ton of choices. And you simply have to take those choices under the Lord, and work with him, right? What you got to partner with the Lord in your decision making, right? Does that seem so hard? Why is that so hard? How come it's so hard to partner with God in decisions? Lord, do you want me to do this or not? I mean, it's pretty straightforward. And he will either tell you yes or no, or wait. I've had that wait thing sometimes, and that's always probably the hardest one. I'd rather be told no than wait. Not a good waiter. How about you? That waiting is the hardest part. Like you're in limbo. You know, and God's saying, wait, don't do anything. Just hold steady. Be content where you are and hold on. Be still and know that I am God. I mean, these things, these voices, the Lord, the Holy Spirit speaking through his word all the time. How many of you guys have heard the word of the Lord, be still, and know that I'm God? How many? Were you still? No. Did you hang out and wait? Come on, you've heard it, but were you obedient? Not always. Me either. And did you think God knew that? He is training you. Because when you go through the disobedient thing, and when God said, be still, you weren't still and you jumped out there anyway. And he's going, told you. Right? So the next time you get to that circumstance and he says, just wait, be still. Don't overreact. Don't get in the way. Don't jump too soon. Just be still and know that I'm God. What are you going to do? He develops character in the circumstances of life. Through circumstances of life. And it's kind of circular. That's actually three-dimensional. He'll work through this and get you to hear him, and then you're disobedient, right? And then the next thing will happen, he'll work the same thing and then give you the same answer that you asked for, and he'll say the same thing, and then he'll see what you do here. All the time, he's working on this down here. They all intersect in that one place, and all he's looking for is for you to be obedient. And as soon as you are, it's like you're going to go, this time, Lord, I will praise you because I can see it. I get it. Right? And he's always at work. So in this dimension of relationship with God and in this the circumstances of life as you're going through them, don't beat yourself up for being stupid, because you can look at your neighbor and go, yeah, you've done it too. You might think you're better than me, but you're not. That's why Jesus gave us all the same opportunity to arise to this occasion of relationship with him. Right? And so we need to know that through it all, God has a plan. He's got a plan through everything you're going through. And some of you guys are going through a hard time. I know that. Some of you are going through some difficult decisions. And some of you are thinking, I'm going to take this thing and do something about it. Right? I'm going to change it now. I have had enough. And all I'm saying is, did you ask God about that? Are you sure that's what God wants you to do? Because if you're really sure that's what God wants you to do, he'll tell you. But if you're not sure, you need to wait. You need to wait. Take a little more time. Spend a little more time with the Lord and ask him what he would have you do. Amen? So in our decision time, spend more time with the Lord and less time processing the feelings or what I'm going to do or how am I going to get out of that. Just be still and know that he is God. Spend a little time in the Word, because the answers are there, and the answers, he'll give them to you. And he may even give you the answer you don't want to hear. Right? I want you to stay in this thing. Anybody ever read the book of Hosea? Come on, that's a good book. Most people pass Hosea right up. He was a prophet, and the Lord asked him to marry a prostitute. Go figure. Ask a prophet to marry a prostitute. And then he had children with her, and then she went out and started selling herself again. And then she was thrown on the auction block to be sold off as a piece of meat, and he bought her back. Picture of Jesus, right? We're the prostitute in this picture. Just saying. God bought you back. He's never going to leave you or forsake you. And so when you start thinking that God's not there, that's a lie. From the pit of hell, that's the enemy. He's whispering, God's not for you. He doesn't ever answer you. He isn't there for you. You've asked him and he didn't show up. Really? Time to stop and evaluate your life a little bit. You're healthy. You're eating solid foods. You have people around you that love you. And now start to evaluate how much God loves you. You could be stuck in a mental institution and not even know your name. Guess what? God's there too. God loves you with an everlasting love, and he does have a plan. And through it all, God still has a plan. And the best thing we can do is partner with him. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for all that you're doing. And Lord, I know there's hard circumstances going on right now in people's lives. And Lord, I ask God that you would just, Lord, come in personally in every one of our relationships, God, and give us wisdom, Lord, in how to respond to you. And then, Lord, you would give us understanding of how to respond to others. And God, that you would help us to grow to the occasion. And Lord, that God, we would be intentional about our relationship, not only with you, but with others. And God, I pray for a circumstance, Lord, that would show us that, Lord, you've been in the middle of it all. And God, that we need to celebrate our victories, no matter how small, because we have a lot to celebrate. And God, as we look through Scripture, and we see things that are going on in others' lives, and Lord, we find it repeating in maybe some of our own. We know that, God, you're weaving your way through all the circumstances of our life, and we just want to surrender to you this morning. God, and we ask, God, you forgive us for our not trusting you. Forgive us for getting in the way. Forgive us for doing things, Lord, that you never asked us to do. And God, that you would truly allow us to have eyes to see through your eyes. And God, that we would be mindful of your presence and come close to you. So God, today as we come through this service and we've looked at the message and individually we've stood before you, even in this prayer, Lord, I ask God that this day would be a day where some changes could happen by your Spirit, because we get it. We get it. We understand it. And now, Lord, we will give you all the honor and glory for everything that's going on, because we know that, God, you're in control. And so we just ask for more insight. Lord, God, bless us. Hallelujah. We thank you for your presence.